Luke, I am your father. That was Darth Vader. Of course, everyone knows that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Go Watch a Movie, episode 12. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
We are a movie discussion podcast, and this is a Star Wars spectacular episode in honor of Rogue One just coming out. We thought we'd do a rundown of all the Star Wars. I've kind of been waiting for this one, because who doesn't love the Star Wars movies? They're all fantastic and fun. Well, some of them are fantastic and fun. So, want to get things started, normally we would do movie news first, but I had, since it's Star Wars, little Star Wars facts. I have, Robert, is, as you know, the E.T. Species makes an appearance in Phantom Menace.
Really?
Yes. Syncing Lucas's world with the E.T. Spielberg world in the chamber when Queen Amidala calls for a vote of no confidence. Mm-hmm. They kind of zoom past three of the little E.T.s chatting and arguing and against that, I guess. It's pretty cool. And I know those two are good friends, you know, having worked on Indiana Jones together. They kind of wrote those and directed those together. So, a second fact, Chewbacca's voice is made up of several different eclectic animals, bears, walruses, lions, badgers, and other dying animals.
Oh, just a dude making a face, yeah.
They just got a swirl of animals and just threw them in there. Last but not least, this one I found real interesting. The Attack of the Clones movie, second of the prequels, none of the clone armor was actual real armor.
It was all CG?
It was all CG.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, none of, but like, you know, you would think for minimal barrier's sake, they would make at least one, mm-hmm. but all of it, just, you know.
I just found out recently that they did that with Iron Man. He's never in a suit.
Yeah.
And I said, wow.
Does he wear one of the green things?
I don't know if he's wearing a green thing or not, but I just know he never wears a suit. He doesn't have to. So
the green thing with that one. The great thing with that one is like the way they do his face helmet thing. Mm-hmm. So it still connects you with Tony and not just Iron Man. I always like that part. Well, let's get with the rundown here. We're going to go through all the movies. We did watch two Star Wars, quote-unquote, Star Wars movies today. We watched both of the Ewok movies, which Disney has removed. When Disney bought Lucasfilm, they got rid of all the extended universe and said the only thing are the six films. At the time, there were six. Now there's eight. But they got rid of the Ewok movies, the Star Wars specials, all the novels. I said only the six films are canon, and we're going to build from that. Six films and the Clone Wars animated series. And they've been building for that since. But I thought it would be fun to watch the Ewok movies so that we have watched all the live action films. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you like to torture me.
We're also going to cover Rogue One, of course, towards the end. But let's go ahead and get into things. Phantom Menace, episode one.
It's your episode one. That's
my official title.
My episode one is The New Hope. Okay,
go ahead. Go off the official title. I agree. This film, most people hated, and rightfully so, I think. Jar Jar Binks, I want to talk about briefly. But yeah, in my opinion, the only saving grace of this film, Darth Maul.
Yes.
And he can't save it. He tries his hardest, but he can't save it.
Did you think Jar Jar Binks ruined it? No, it's not.
He did not help it.
He knows it.
But there was a theory going around about Jar Jar Binks that he is a Sith Lord, and he is pretending all of that.
So he's like a Kaiser Sosek of the Star Wars world?
Essentially. Okay. Notice how he always unintentionally gets out of trouble and takes down these large amounts of troops and that sort of thing.
That's one hell of a theory.
And then they further try and go into that theory by saying there is a deleted scene after which in Revenge of the Sith, or is it Attack of the Clones? One of the whichever one, where Jar Jar Binks votes the Supreme Chancellor to become the Supreme Chancellor, Palpatine. He gives the power basically in Amidala's stead all to the Supreme Chancellor, knowing full well that he's a Sith Lord. Mm-hmm. And there is the deleted scene where the guy who talks for Jar Jar Binks said it was supposed to be Chancellor Palpatine telling him all of the darkness and secrets of the, as they walk down the hallway. So that doesn't lead credence to it because he's still one of the goofiest, wackiest, pointless characters of all time.
Least favorite of all time, in my opinion.
George Lucas made him for his kids. I don't know. And he was really sad when the general public did not like him. But, yeah. What about Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon Jinn?
I didn't dislike him as Qui-Gon Jinn. I mean, he was okay. I still saw Liam.
Yeah.
He's such a big actor now. I just see Liam. But
we did get introduced to Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I thought he did a really good job with Obi-Wan.
100% agree with that because that he is probably my favorite part of those prequels.
The beard really helped him get into the character.
And some people have heard take a little anger out of the fact that he's using his British proper tone because they say the only reason the original actor who played Obi-Wan did it was because he was a British dude and he didn't really want to do the role. He thought it was horrible fantasy rubbish. And they said that they wanted Ewan to go his own way, but I think he did it perfect because Obi-Wan seems like this regal, you know.
I thought it was awesome.
Not
that I love those three movies, but I did like his performance in it. I did like him.
So this introduced a new generation to the Star Wars movies. I'm sure parents have shown their kids the original three, at least I hope so, before the prequels.
I'm sure they did.
You know, Lucas got to have his way. He got all of his CG, all of his story told how he wanted. Jar Jar Binks added in, you know, and it kind of started building a new portion of the saga that we all knew and love, and kind of ruined it for a lot of people. It still has some of the elements of Star Wars, but you know,
One thing that bothered me about it. It's like the stuff like seemed like the technology seemed more advanced than it did in the future when it was supposed to be like episode 4, 5, and 6.
This is true.
Like I didn't like that. That bothered me a lot for some reason. I don't know why, but
and from what I was reading, some people, and this is just fan theory, say that it's because of the Galactic Civil War and all that crap. But one kind of dismisses that. Mm-hmm. So which we'll get to. There's not much to say about Phantom Menace. It's just
other than Darth Maul.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it for me.
Darth Maul was fantastic, and I wish he didn't go out the way he did. I know he comes back in Clone Wars. They bring him back. He apparently willed himself to stay alive and attached a robotic kind of tentacle leg things to himself, which I think is pretty cool because it seems like something that character would do. But yeah, he was not enough to hold that movie together. That will take us to Attack of the Clones.
What do you think of that one?
You know, I like the whole, we start getting hints of deceit. We start seeing Palpatine's plan coming together. You know, they start unmasking the fact that somebody put in an order for clones to be made way back when. But the guy they thought they had been deceased for a very long time, you know, and we start getting these little hints that this things are going awry and the Jedi Order isn't as powerful as it would be. Still not a great movie. And you know what? I think a lot of it is the acting. Like
they push the love story a lot
Yeah.
in this one. I felt it was hokey.
Very.
You know, say, you know, say it nicely. I mean, it just felt really, really hokey. I don't know.
I want to say the timeline, too, while we were going through these. Episode one happens. They go... what is it? I forget. BBY. They judge the Battle of Yavin as their timeline, which is the battle that we see in Rogue One. Is how they base their timeline. Episode one happens, and then it's a 10-year leap to episode two, which is why Anakin grows so big between those movies. But yeah, you're right. The love story. Why stress it so much? We know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just felt they overdid it. Maybe they didn't, but that was just my perception of it. It felt overdone.
Anakin,
it felt
you're breaking my heart. Forced.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah, they just felt forced. I just waved my hand.
Yeah, I want to find something good. Like, the Clone War cartoon kind of makes this movie a little bit better for me, but because you get to see some of the squads, you know, do their thing, because there were some amazing clone soldiers in that cartoon.
The battle at the end was,
yeah,
was good.
Yeah.
Not bad, but and I haven't seen all of the Clone Wars, the animated, so but yeah, just the movie standalone by itself, I don't know, it's just the whole prequel thing. I just can't get past. Sometimes a prequel will work, but in this case, I think there's just three prequels that
we can't skip over. The Darth Maul character in this one, Grievous. Mm-hmm. Now, Grievous, I liked him as well. Grievous is this BA android because he's part alien. Yeah. He's been so battle damaged that he's had to kind of rebuild himself.
When he took on
Obi,
he had four lightsabers
from killing other Jedi.
Which I don't know how he did it because Obi was just like just handing it to him in that scene where they fought. So I don't know. Maybe he's better. I don't know.
Yeah, like he's the guy. There's this real short done by the people who did the anime Samurai Jack, and it's like him hunting down four Jedi, and they're terrified for their lives, and they're running, and he catches up to them, and he does basically some of the stuff he did against Obi-Wan. I don't know if in the movie that's them trying to say Obi-Wan is that much more superior, you know, to other Jedi, but yeah. So, but yeah, he's like super feared by Jedi. That everyone knows his name. He collects lightsabers of the Jedi he kills. He's cool, but you're right. That scene made him look like
that scene made him look weak to me. He's like, I've trained with what's his face. So I know exactly what I need to do, but he didn't do anything.
Exactly.
He
just got his hand, Count Dooku,
butt headed to him. So yeah,
and the coughing thing is also done in the animated thing. That's done by Mace Windu. He goes at Mace Windu, a mace force squeezes his heart, his whole, yeah. And so I thought that was cool. But yeah, and Count Dooku, I guess, does make an appearance in this one. We don't see him in Phantom Menace, but we do see him in this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's this once Jedi now, Sith, who I guess is in on the plot of Palpatine. His oddly shaped lightsaber doesn't mean.
The little.
Yeah.
Ben thing, you don't like the little thing?
No, I'm not a fan. Yeah, he doesn't bring much. Is this the one? This is the one where we see Yoda get a little
get all crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I like that because.
That was a surprise for a lot of people.
He comes hobbling in with his cane and just throws it to the side, forces his lightsaber into his hand, and just goes to town.
A mini lightsaber. I think it'd be funny to see Yoda with a full size lightsaber instead of being a mini lightsaber.
It would be.
That'd be crazy.
About the same size as him, I would think. The Yoda aspect, I think, saved it. No, not saved it. I'm sorry, made it. Enjoyable.
Tolerable.
And as I said, I like Grievous, but that's my problem. I enjoy Grievous.
I think Grievous is a good character. Yeah. I like the character. It's just in that.
You need the backstory to make it work, I think, to where they introduce him.
Right.
Yeah. And then once again, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, you know, I think he is. Yeah. And we kind of skipped over we talk about Darth Maul, but in Phantom Menace, we get to see the one time Obi-Wan loses his cool, like when Qui-Gon gets killed, mm-hmm. and Maul's pacing back and forth.
That's my favorite scene in the movie, yeah. when he's pacing.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's kind of doing the chi zen thing, and Maul's just waiting for that door to open.
I can't wait. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the whole movie.
And I think the only reason Obi-Wan lost, or Maul lost that, is because he wasn't expecting Obi-Wan to lose his cool like that and just use the anger of the Force. But yeah, Attack the Clones, we get introduced to the clones, and
How do you feel about the clones? Think it's a big deal, or it's like whatever?
I like the fact that it gives us more reach into Boba Fett, because mm-hmm. We get to see, okay, now that Jango Fett, who the clones are all based off of, he's going to keep one by himself and train it untouched, like the other ones have age enhancement. He's going to keep this one, and yeah, now it's going to become this legendary character Bobo and want more of. But the clones themselves, they're better than the stormtroopers. They can shoot, they can fight. They are, and I did some research into that too, because there's a huge question of whether or not the clones are the stormtroopers in A New Hope that we get. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. What do you think about the clones?
I like the idea of the clones, but I would just assume if you're cloning something off of something that's OBA, that they would all be BA. But they just seem expendable. Mm. Like they're just target factors. There's one, I'll shoot it, it's down. There's another one, I'll shoot it, it's down. They just don't bring, I would just assume they would be better than what they are. They're really cool.
And see, once again, this sucks. I can't keep using this as a crutch for the Star Wars prequels. But we get to see the BA squads in the Clone Wars cartoon. Like, we get to see them, you know, actually get, because there's some amazing, the 501st, there's a bunch of clones that join up with Vader for a brief period of time, and they are amazing, and yeah. But once again, coming into this movie not knowing that, yeah, it does look like we made a wave, basically a shield of clones, you know, mm-hmm. and we'll just keep throwing them at you until the job gets done. We do go to, is it Keshak? The Wookiee homeworld?
I can't keep the name of these planets straight.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of them. And we see Yoda there, and he sees Chewbacca. We get to see a first glimpse of Chewbacca. Now, my whole thing, this is why I can't wait for the Han Solo standalone movies. I want to know why Chewie is so loyal. Like, I know he had a life debt to Han for something, but what is that life debt for? You know, like, what did Han do for Chewie that made him so loyal?
Right.
Yeah. But
I hope it's not a disappointment for you. It's coming out.
And we're going to get to Forby shortly. But, yeah. So, that brings us, I think, to what is my favorite of the three prequels.
Okay.
And I'm not afraid to say this. Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. It happens.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It happens. Like, we see the formation of Vader.
It is the best of the three.
And it's...
Despite Darth Maul not being in it. There's a reason for that. I'll explain it later.
Oh. But, yeah. So, we get to see what everyone's been waiting on. Vader. Vader. He becomes Vader. Mm-hmm. We get to see him kill younglings. Oh. And it's
great,
yeah.
Just horrible to say. Despite him killing a bunch of kids, yeah. But that was
Despite Hayden Christensen's acting, which I think he turns it up in this one. Which and it's crazy too, because I've seen that guy act. The guy can act. He has skills, but for whatever reason, I'm thinking Jumper. But for whatever reason. The way they deliver the lines in this, it's so meh, you know.
It might not have been him. It might have just been the script. I mean, you can only
true
give so much of what you're given.
Exactly.
But yeah. And after watching the Ewok movies, I can understand why he's struggling with some of those lines.
Yeah. Oh, God. This one, we see... Well, we skip Mace Windu. Mace Windu appears in the second. What do you think of Mace?
Mace Windu.
Purple lightsaber.
You know, it's I don't know about the purple lightsaber. I think that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because every other lightsaber is either, like, for the most part...
Green, blue, red.
Green, blue, red. Isn't there, like, a gold, like a yellow?
Yeah, well, it's yellow.
Video games.
Yeah.
In the show, in movies and all that. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think... That particular character was like...
And that was a personal choice of Samuel L. Jackson's. He wanted a purple.
He wanted a purple.
Yes.
Okay, well, go get him, Sam. I don't know. Just the character seemed not what I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
For me, it's worth it. Not what I wanted.
And I agree there. He's on the Council of Jedi. He is a revered... well-trained Jedi. He knows what he's doing. But I think that he could have been given more to do and we could have been given an example of that. And I think that's why so many people were so upset when they got rid of the extended universe for Star Wars. Because we got those examples. We were given all this source material and backstories of all these Jedis and people that we get glimpses of in the movies, but now we're like, oh, wow, we have a story of where he came from, what he did, how he got this, how he did this. And then Disney's like, nope. You know? So, but yeah. I guess that's part of the allure of Star Wars is, you know, because in the original three, we had Vader coming to a ship and just saying, kill everyone on board, and we're like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, we're joining a story that's already in progress, and I think that's part of what made it so exciting. But Revenge of the Sith, Anakin wants to be a master now. He thinks he's ready, and by all accounts, he has flew through everything that they've thrown at him. He's a Clone Wars war hero. Episode 3 happens 3 years after Episode 2. So that story's progressed some. He's gotten rid of his little Padawan braid, and he's all wild-haired and wild-eyed, and he's ready to go. Padme's prego.
Yeah.
which somehow they keep a secret from the Jedi Order.
But
I guess... And we do get a glimpse into the council. They say their powers are fading. They're not as perceptive as they used to be. But there's a pregnant woman, you know, a pregnant senator. Who's...
You don't need a Jedi to know that a woman's pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care how big of a robe she wears. But, yeah. And, yeah, Jar Jar Binks he's still popping up here and there. He's, for whatever reason, been given... senatorial rights.
Mm-hmm.
What were they thinking? I don't know. Misa, like this! Misa, vote! Where do we start this one? I can kind of remember it. I didn't rewatch these because I watched them so recently. Is it the chase scene? Someone...
There's a pretty good chase scene.
Yeah. Like I said, this one is better than the other two, in my opinion. Like, they tell a good story, a decent story. We get to see why and how the Emperor played Anakin how he did. At the time, Chancellor Palpatine played Anakin how he did. Why Anakin got played the way he did. Or, in his eyes, he wasn't getting played. He was trying to save Padme. The Emperor entices him with immortality. And not for himself, but
for her. Yeah.
So
I mean, you can see how much fear he had about losing there. And
yes.
You know, the whole famous line from Yoda, you know, fear leads to whatever.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, it made sense. And it's a perfect way to introduce how he turns to the dark side. But
yeah. And that's, once again, now see, I've always had this question. Jedi, you're supposed to be void of emotion. They don't want you, equilibrium style. They don't want you to feel, they want you to kind of keep everything in check.
I don't think they're full Vulcan.
No. They want you to keep everything in check. They want peace in the universe. They want you to control everything. Whereas the Sith, the dark side, they're yes. like, let it fly.
Yeah.
Let it fly. Let it they, all they fly. Want, use want, it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, so who, yes, the Jedi want peace, but who are, as far as building a character. So
who's really the good guy and the bad guy then?
Yes.
That makes you think.
Exactly.
If the Jedi want you to like hold your emotions in check and make rational decisions without, you know, emotion being completely involved, and the Sith is just like, well, just let it fly.
Yeah.
Let your emotions lead you.
That's the question I've always
really
had.
Really wonder who's actually the good guy, who's actually the bad guy.
And I guess like the way they solve that, they answer that question in the movies and in all the books and everything is the Sith are doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But. do you think Palpatine, what he wanted was bad? This man's
going to he was bad. I mean, he was a villain.
Which is why he's my number one pick.
So there's no doubt about it. He was definitely a villain. He was what he wanted.
Ultimate power.
It was ultimate power.
Power!
He was just evil.
Yeah.
But like Anakin, he didn't really necessarily want ultimate power.
He just wanted to save the person he loved.
But he wanted power, but he wanted enough power so that he could do what he wanted to do, to save who he wanted to save.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't realize that was going to lead him down a path where he was going to be
he wanted
a puppet for evil.
So much so that it blinded him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, Obi-Wan showed up at the fire pit and he's like, I'm here to save you, Anakin. And Anakin's like, I know what you're really here for. You want to stop me. You want to take our love away. And Obi-Wan's like, no, you fool. I'm here to help you. And he's just like not hearing anything Obi-Wan says. He's completely blinded by it. And maybe that's why they want them to control that, because they have this extraordinary ability and powers and extra sensitivity. So letting it all fly could lead down that path. So
both ways could lead you down that path.
True. You're the chosen one, Anakin. You know that. Yeah,
he was the chosen one to restore balance to the Force. But in that movie, the Jedi were clearly in control.
Mm.
So balance in the Force would be bringing the Jedi down.
But you said they were in control.
They were the dominating force. It wasn't the Sith.
At the time, Jedi. You're right.
So that balance of the Force would be
well behind the scenes. They weren't, because they were using Palpatine's army unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
By all appearances, yes, they were, you're right, they were in front, because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that he was controlling both sides. So, yeah.
Yes.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's confusing.
They just misinterpreted what balance of the Force meant, what it didn't necessarily mean.
But see, and that goes down to what happened in Return of the Jedi, which we'll get to. Like, some people say that is when he brought balance to the Force, is when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't, you know.
Well, at the time, because the Jedi had been completely annihilated, that would be balance after you annihilate something and then come back to it. But yeah.
But yeah, and once again, that's why I like this movie, because it had a deeper story, it had a deeper script, it executed it better.
It was better than the previous
one. I didn't like I love the fight scene between Obi-Wan and Anakin, but I didn't like the whole jumping on little robots and lava and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that was overdone, but it was still overall a brilliant scene.
Yeah.
The fight, I mean, it was...
Because you can't get that close to lava. Yeah. Unless they were using some kind of force shields,
which they were,
you know.
But, yeah.
But I did like, and when we quoted this in when we watched Stoker. I have the high ground, Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
And when Anakin jumped at him, like, I knew Vader had robotic parts, but for him to actually, just slash. Like his leg and arm right simultaneously, one swipe, and there's Anakin landing right next to the fire, and then he starts to burn which is like, hey, what? Wait, they were just fighting on top of this level, but now he's burning through. Anyway, and that whole the hate in his voice—that's when Hayden comes out.
I hate you.
Yeah, I hate you. And he's digging into the sand with his one arm,
trying
and
to crawl.
He's still trying to get to him and fight him. Like, and that's why I love this movie. That's why I not love. Think this one's better than the other two.
That made the movie though. That yeah. Battle scene did.
That and then all the like we mentioned before.
There's a part. It's weird that I mentioned this, but there's a part where they're fighting in that last scene, and they're waving their lightsabers around, but neither one of them are really touching each other's lightsaber. It's just kind of a weird kind of show of skill right before they start going back into the fancy thing. I love that scene. I don't know why.
I know the one you're talking, yeah.
It's crazy good.
Yeah, see, and this one's just better. Like, we get to see him do all the things we wanted to see him do. He goes on a rampage. Like, we mentioned the young things, but even after that, he goes in and gets rid of all the separatists.
And he warns Padme. He's like, I'm not the Jedi. Like, there's something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? I can see, I know it, but I'm still there. I can't help it.
It wasn't Attack of Clones. It was in this one where he goes and rescues his mom, right?
Oh, I can't remember which one it was. If it was this one or last one, second or third.
But yeah, he goes there and he kills them all. Like, Sam, he's like, I did it. I killed them all, Padme. Sam, people, the children, the men, the women, all of them. Really? Yeah, you know? So it's like, I'm crying for help here. Help me.
Yeah, he's pretty much crying for help the whole time. But
yeah.
Everybody's like in denial. Like, no, you're the chosen one.
You have this much skill, which he did. He great pilot, great Jedi. Like, he thought. He did lose an arm. We skipped over that against Count Dooku because he thought he was better than what he was. Once again in the leap, he should stop leaping at people.
Yes. Should have learned that lesson, but he didn't.
Yeah, and that's when Yoda comes out. But both arms are gone, one leg, right? Mm-hmm. And then he burnt to hell. but yeah, so this one I find redeemable a little bit for the prequels.
Yeah, I give you that.
One, oh my god, stop it. Why'd you do that? Two, okay.
Two is blah.
Yeah. Three is we're on the right track here. We see the saga that we all love coming into focus. And then if it's okay with you, I want to skip over Rogue One for now. I know it comes next.
Right, that's fine.
The prologue is 4 years after Part 3 of Rogue One, and then the rest of Rogue One is 19 years after Part 3. But since it's so new, we'll save that for last. And then we're going to stop here for a second, ladies and gentlemen. We've gone through three movies. I want to take a break in between, and we're going to do some Potter Valley promos here.
This week on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
I haven't had a in 10 years. Well, not that I can remember. I might be getting one in the bathroom at a bar. I don't know. All I know is that during the holiday, give to your homeless men. This is a public spurs announcement that to give to homeless men on the street. Hey, we need to eat. We like to enjoy Christmas too, especially New Year's.
You
hey.
Know you're not going to buy food with that. You're going to go eat double cheese out of the dumpster and spend it all on Mr. Boston and PBR.
I don't want no Mr. Boston. I want Cristal. I want the whole deal.
This is Paul.
And this is Wayne.
And this week on
the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast,
we have a woman guest host.
Yes, we are doing top 10 feel-good movies. Movies that made you feel good in the cinema, made you float out, be all positive about life and sh**.
That's right. Janelle joined us, and what a surprise that you would mention floating out of cinema, because your film list has your head in the clouds again.
And once again, Paul is going to be a total in this episode, but what are you going to do? Because he has no soul. Join us to hear about people with a soul.
Eat it.
Yeah, well, that's right. Now, cue the explosion.
And we're back. Also, I wanted to do a couple other things since we're halfway at the halfway mark. We're going to do, instead of trailers, we had a question for each other. Who is your favorite Star Wars character and why? Do you want to jump this off or you want me to do it?
I'll go.
Okay, go.
I'm not scared.
You're scared.
Mine is, actually, I don't like the prequels, but strangely enough, my favorite character is from the prequels. Hmm? Which is from the Phantom Menace.
Oh, God.
It is Darth Maul.
Okay.
Is it yours, Dan?
Not...
Mine is Darth Maul.
Anakin Skywalker.
No, I'm definitely not. It's Darth Maul. I just love the character. I thought they did an excellent job of making the Sith Lord.
He's amazing.
Like I said, again, that scene where he's pacing back and forth just embodied him for me. He's not the sit down and be patient and wait type of guy. He's the action, guy who does he gets in there and he takes care of business.
And there has never been another Sith like him in the Star Wars films.
That's Darth Maul. He's just BA to the max. He's ridiculous. I can't get enough of him.
Double-sided lightsaber.
He owned the toy franchise, if you didn't know from Phantom Menace.
I didn't.
He owned that. Everybody was like, it was all about Darth Maul. It wasn't about anybody else in that. It was all about Darth Maul. Everybody wanted the Darth Maul. So, and there's a reason for that, because he was the best character in that movie.
Yes.
And and it's also funny. Here's another fun fact. His horns were originally envisioned as feathers, and they changed it. And the people who made it interpreted that as horns, and that's why he got horns.
I would love to see that.
They were originally supposed to be feathers, according to Wiki.
Yeah.
So, there's just so much going on with that character. I just love them.
Like you said, from the horns to the Sith garb to they gave him bad teeth, the yellow eyes.
His pattern was actually one-sided, and they folded it in half and then gave him a double. There's so much going on with them.
Double-sided lightsaber, which we hadn't seen up until this point.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, everything about him. The fact that he took on two Jedi, he wasn't scared. He wasn't...
Kill the master.
He just went for it. Yeah. He was BA.
Darth, yes, I love it.
I love Darth Maul.
Mine is probably the popular choice, or I don't know, Han Solo.
You know what? I knew that you were going to pick him.
He embodies what I love in movies and what I want to lead. How I would like to live my life if it was another life. He created the Jack Sparrow effect. And I'll explain what I mean by that. He has a ship and he has his first mate and he doesn't follow the rules of the government. He doesn't follow the rules of the Jedi. He doesn't follow the rules of anybody. He goes and he does what he wants. He points his ship into space, hits that hyperdrive button, and he goes. And he has the adventures he wants. He gets the money he wants. He makes enemies. Yes, he makes enemies. He does. But he just lives by the beat of his own drum. He doesn't answer to anyone. And I say Jack Sparrow effect because that's why I love Jack Sparrow so much. Because Jack wants the Black Pearl because it's his freedom. He can put it on the sea, open those cells, and he goes when he has it. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And Han Solo is the same way. The Millennium Falcon is his freedom. And it may not be that you ask him, then he'll say friend parsec in 12 seconds or whatever. But yeah, he goes. And not to mention, he's in this world of magic, quote unquote, force, and he holds his own. He is just as a pivotal role and does just as important things as everyone else, even though he's this scoundrel, literally that's his title, scoundrel, who has a heart. And he is the reason why Luke in the Star Wars New Hope got those shots off, because he shot Vader's TIE fighter off. And when he thought he was going to go and take his money and run, he did the opposite and came and saved the day. But yeah, Han Solo for me, not to mention Chewbacca as a sidekick, is just awesome. You know, you have a Wookiee who he threatens to rip people's arm off and beat them to death with it. You know, so, and the man wears vests. I wear a lot of vests.
That's why you wear vests. No, it all makes sense.
Han Solo wears the coolest vest ever. And yeah, and like I said, I can't wait for his movies to come out. But yeah, that whole sense of freedom, living by the beat of your own drum, and doing what it is you want when you want to do it.
Who's playing a younger him?
Oh, I would have to look that up for you.
Would they even really need somebody to play a younger him? Because after Room 1, at the very end, pretty much get a glimpse that you don't need a younger him.
Yeah, but they have a new guy. I'll get that name and put it in the. But yeah. I'm going to miss Harrison Ford playing him, that's for sure, because he did an amazing job. One of the most famous lines in Star Wars was ad-libbed by Han Solo. We'll get there. Han Solo, he's amazing. Get that blaster on his hip, those awkward blue pants with that open pirate vest or pirate shirt with the vest over it. Yep. And we'll go back into the movies from there, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 4, A New Hope, Star Wars. As it, the thing that introduced it, bonded families, it brought families together. We get introduced to Vader pretty quick, who is the main antagonist, along with the Emperor, through all of these movies. Wow. This guy is... And having not seen the prequels, of course, because they weren't out, being introduced to this man in all black, menacing as heck. Like, he has this amazing deep voice. James Earl Jones did an amazing job with the voice.
He did do a good job with the voice. Mm. But in all honesty, let's take a step back and look at Star Wars in general and the costumes that they've created. They're kind of ridiculous.
They are.
But they work. Yes. There's something about it that even though they're ridiculous looking, they're almost, I don't want to say stupid, but they are. I mean,
Spaceball spoofs that.
Yeah. They look ridiculous, but they work. And even though he's in this really dorky looking costume, you're scared of him. You're like, oh my God, it's Darth Vader. It just works. I don't know why it works, even though it's dorky.
I think it's their setup, because we don't see him when he says, blast down the doors, kill them all. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he comes in and they do just that. And then the very next scene, I think it's the very next scene, we see him choking the, you know. So we instantly are told to fear this dude. He's wow, you know.
Yeah, he could have been a pink tutu, but it's still just as effective. Like, I'm scared of this guy.
So, speaking of Vader, since we're here, the original guy who plays Darth Vader, how horribly PO'd would you be? Because the rumor is, and it's all I've ever read, is this guy did all of his roles. He did his roles. He spoke the parts. And then when he went to sit down and watch the movie, it was James Earl Jones' voice instead of his own. What?
At that point in time, because it was like, what, 1977 when the movie came out? Yes, I probably would have been upset, but at the same time, I mean, if it didn't match like what you were going for, then I could understand why they would change it. They do that a lot in movies. You don't believe how many people you think it's somebody speaking and it's some ever the actor that you see on the film. It's always somebody else doing the voice. So,
I actually want to see his original, that, you know, that original with him, and see what he sounded like.
I don't know if I want to. Because it's so, I mean, since the beginning, we've always heard his voice.
Luke, I'm your father.
It's a little guy. This wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, then we meet Leia. Or Leia, as everyone says it in British, which is weird. But we meet Leia as she's giving...
What was Luke's originally like Starkiller? It wasn't Star.
He was Starkiller. Which traveled into one of the games, The Force Awakens, or Force Unleashed, I'm sorry. Force Unleashed, and you play as Starkiller, and yeah, it's a cool game. But that would have put it wouldn't have fit the Luke we meet at first.
Yeah, he's not a Stark.
No, he's not.
Walker, I guess.
Yeah.
Or I'd go Wanderer.
Aimless Wanderer.
Hey, where am I going? There I am.
But I meet Leia, she's giving the plans, which she only had to have had for, I don't know how long they were getting chased, but after watching Rogue One, it puts a new light on that. It makes Episode 4, A New Hope, that much better because...
Rogue One does?
Yeah, because we see... We're going to get to this, but we see bam, 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 now we're in A New Hope. Like, and we're like, whoa, this just happened, or, you know, happened maybe a couple months ago. This is why all these people are scared. This is why they're frightened. This is why they all, you know, it puts a new light on A New Hope. But yeah, she's giving the newly acquired, at the time, we don't know they're newly acquired because this movie is way before Rogue One, but she's giving the plans to the Death Star, to R2-D2, and launching them out in a escape pod. Then we get the famous line, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope. And goes. And from there, Vader questions her. And she is from the start, just like, despite knowing who Vader is, what he's capable of, in his face, like when he's interrogating her, she's not backing down at all. She's like right there, like, no, I'm an ambassador. We're in a peaceful run, you know? But yeah, and then right after that, we meet Luke Skywalker.
Let's go ahead and like tackle the elephant in the room with acting.
Okay.
How do you feel? Do you think that ruined it? Do you think it mattered? Do you think it was still okay because it's an older movie?
I don't know if it was intentional, because listening to Mark Hamill now explain things, it seems like he makes choices on purpose. And I'm going to go ahead and preface this by saying he is probably my favorite Joker. I think he does an amazing job as a Joker when he plays a Joker. But that Anakin... And like, it's kind of a Breaking Bad thing. Like, we see, or I'm sorry, I said Anakin, Luke. That Luke, we see go from this whiny, I don't know how old he is, but this whiny guy to this be a Jedi in all black who will walk into a place with a hood on and just cut people down, you know? So I don't know if that was a choice or in the script or what, but it's, what do you think?
I just think it was bad acting. I don't think it was, he wasn't seasoned. He didn't know what he was doing.
True.
It might have been the part. He was trying to actually play that. And it was, they probably thought it was a B movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they probably acted it, you know, as such.
Yeah, everything I read, it seems like nobody took this serious.
Yeah, no, it wasn't taken seriously at first. It just became what it, you know, became after the fact. So it's possible that's, you know, part of the reason for bad acting. I agree. Yeah, he's an amazing Joker. You hear the Joker's voice, you know, his voice as a Joker, you don't even believe that's him.
No.
Because it's so well done. But as far as the, like, Star Wars the movie, I don't really know where the error there was, if it was him or if it was, you know, what he was expecting out of it. But it just didn't come across. Like, if he has any acting ability, it wasn't shown in Star Wars.
At that time, I can see that side. Yeah. I just want to go to the high station and pick up some power converters. Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's different. It is different. It is a different Mark Hamill. He's come a long way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all you can really say about it.
But it's
crazy, even though he had such bad acting, and I think most people can agree to it, he didn't ruin the films.
No.
They're still good,
yes.
Unlike Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
I mean, his films are still good.
You can still tell he's a pivotal part of it.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
You didn't dislike
him. Exactly. So he gets the droids. And we meet Jawas, which is some of my favorite, just because of the noise they make. Ooh, teeny! Yeah, and R2, I noticed after we watching these here shortly, R2 is almost forgotten. Like, Luke is walking off with another R2 unit, this red and white one, and him and C-3PO are walking, and C-3PO doesn't say a thing. He's just walking, they're walking away, and this droid melt, this other R2 unit malfunctions, and it starts smoking and everything, and he's like, Uncle Owen, this thing, you know, in that whiny Luke voice, this thing's broken, and then C-3PO speaks up. He's like, oh, master, I blah, 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 protocol droid, this is me, blah, blah, you know, blah, blah. And that one is my partner, and it would be great. So do you think if that thing wouldn't have malfunctioned?
Who knows what would have happened.
C-3PO was just walking away.
Yeah. It's possible. I don't think Luke George really planned all this out as much as he says he did.
Yeah.
Clearly, with the whole brother and sister thing, he didn't plan this out.
Yeah.
It wasn't close. We just kind of rolled with it.
Yeah, this was funny to me. Like, wait, C-3PO, this is R2. What are you doing? But yeah, of course, he gets R2. C-3PO gets a bath, and he's so happy. R2 gets, for whatever reason, convinces Luke to remove his leash, basically, his droid leash. And he goes off and he finds old Ben Kenobi. And once again, like you said, at the first meeting of Obi-Wan kind of punches holes in the fact that he had all this planned out, because Obi-Wan says some things that are different than Obi-Wan makes no mention of Qui-Gon Jinn, and he says Yoda trained him. You know, it's yeah. But then we go to the legendary cantina. Oh, the cantina. And we meet two dudes who showed up in Rogue One, which I thought was funny. Did you notice that? I don't like you. My friend doesn't like you either. They were in Rogue One.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they had to have just barely got off that freaking planet. Because it was blown up shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
We meet Han Solo, the legendary Han Solo, and Han shot first. If you find an original copy of Star Wars VHS, and you put that in, and you fast forward to the scene where Han and Guido are talking, Guido does not get a shot off. Han shoots him. And that's that, because that's the kind of person, I don't know if they thought, hey, this is too violent, or hey, he's one of the good guys and we shouldn't have him shoot like this. But then they added Guido shooting and missing him. Yeah, Han shot first. And then they added, the version I watched a couple days ago, they added the CG Jabba and Han stepping on his tail.
What do you think about the whole adding all the CG stuff to the originals?
I don't like it.
Me
either. I say let it be. We've all seen what it was. Why change it?
Yeah, isn't it amazing how good they could still make a movie without all the CG?
Yeah.
They were still able to make something that was so amazing. They didn't need all that stuff, and they decided, I want to add a bunch of extra crap.
It's like, I get it. You're an artist. You have an idea of what you want this to be. I understand that, but dude, let it be. Like, we've seen it. We all love it. Like, it's already a pop culture phenomenon. People love it. Why would you go back and change it?
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And make people hate
you. That's
what
he did. Yeah, he just screwed himself.
George Lucas, but that's also why he sold it, because he's like, I'm making things better, but people are still hating me. I don't understand this. And it's like, dude, it was great what you did. Stop trying to fix the greatness that you did.
Exactly.
But, yeah. We meet Jabba for the first time. And actually, a brief shot of Boba in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Then, of course, they escape the way they do. This one, overall, I enjoyed. Of course, it's Star Wars. It's the first one. It's probably the best in the series.
That's the reason why there is a series.
Yeah, you know, so it's what hooked everyone. We get Vader, we get Luke, we get Leia, we get Han, we get R2, we get his reveal. It's just, we get everything.
Like, is that when we get the stormtrooper that bumps his head on the wall and they still put him in the room?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Of course, we can't forget Chewbacca. Thank you, Chewie.
Let me join us later. Several different diet animals.
Yeah. Oh, don't piss him off, bro. He will hurt you. But yeah, you know, we get all of that, and this is just the movie that set such a standard and changed sci-fi for years to come. Still changing sci-fi, I think, because as far as Disney is concerned, there's still a lot more Star Wars story to tell.
Oh, Disney. We appreciate what you're doing, but we also hate you.
yes, Chewie, I know. But yeah, so we then, that's A New Hope. There's a lot more to say about A New Hope. It's, like we said, but then we get to what people consider their favorite, a lot of people, I shouldn't say everyone, their favorite of the original trilogy, The Empire Strikes Back. And boy, did they. Once again, Luke destroys, quote unquote. And that scene, there is nothing left of the Death Star after he shoots that little incident, which everyone can shut up about now. It was intentional. but yeah.
I wonder if that's why they made the movie.
Just to shut everyone up.
This is supposed to happen.
Like, why would you do that? But The Empire Strikes Back happens 3 years after Episode 4. Yeah. And Luke has, quote unquote, destroyed the Death Star. The rebels are trying to basically win the Republic back. And instead, the Empire is striking back. And we meet, at the time, the only black man in Star Wars history, Lando Calrissian, who will be played by Danny Glover in the Han Solo movies. You know Danny Glover from The Community? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be Han Solo. In the, yeah. Or, yeah, he's going to be Lando Calrissian in Han Solo movies.
I guess.
And he's going on record as saying, my Lando's going to be cool. I'm like, Lando was cool. What are you talking mm-hmm. about? that's something I love about this movie, because like Lando and Han have this past. They're great friends. They have bets going on that we don't know about. Like I want to know more. Like, what's going on here? What is all this you're talking about? Why does Chewie? Yeah, Chewie. We see Cloud City. We see Luke lose his hand. Ouch. it's just awesome. And Yoda. We meet Yoda. Yes. We meet. It's just fantasticness in a nutshell. At this point, this is the only Yoda we know, having not seen the prequels yet. Insane.
Guano crazy.
He's been on.
So you know what guano means?
He's been on Dagobah for who knows how long in a self-exile, which I also hate. I forgot to mention that when we talk about the prequels. Like, after he fights the Emperor in the chamber, and he's not losing. He's not winning, but he's not losing. You know, he gets picked up by Ogama, I think, and fell I did. Exile I must go. It's like, what? What? Why? No, you can fight. Go do more. Get who's left and do more. But no, he self-exiles himself to Dagobah and goes crazy. And for whatever reason, Obi-Wan says, hey, go to this crazy green dude. Which, you know... You know, I guess
if he had actually said that, that would be hilarious. Go to this crazy green dude.
Luke, go to the crazy green dude. Megabot. He's got the best hash, man. What? Anyway, this also fun fact, they saw Yoda originally as a monkey wearing a mask holding a cane. That was their idea for Yoda at first. I'm glad they changed that.
You ain't lying.
Yoda at this point is over 900 years old.
No wonder why it's going crazy.
Yeah. He still has his moments of sanity, and he teaches Luke how to be a Jedi by, for the most part, teaching him about the Force. Luke has this weird, trippy dream where he goes in a tree and sees Vader's head, and then sees himself in the head. Well, I guess it makes sense in hindsight. Mm-hmm. But, and then Luke realizes that his friends are in trouble, and he has to go. He quits training early. But yes, Yoda, we couldn't skip over Yoda because Yoda is Yoda. Yoda is one of the reasons people love Star Wars so much. Even though he wasn't in Star Wars, he makes the movie. And it's probably why Empire Strikes Back your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to Sky City and we get to see Vader do some more cool stuff and deflect bullets or blaster bolts. With the Force, which is something we hadn't seen before. Because the Force is in these movies, the older ones, but basically Vader is what we're seeing use it, and then bits and pieces of Luke.
He's the main person that uses it. Yeah. It's like everybody else is just still learning.
Yeah, Jedis are, like you said earlier, basically extinct. Luke is trained to become one again and rebuild it, but...
It's not a Vader's level.
No, not near. And when we get to Force Awakens, that'll be even more evident because, wow, did they screw that up. Like, I love how this old series, the original series, did it because Luke is learning to be a Jedi. Vader is a master Jedi, and Luke is nowhere near on his platform by movie 2, which is how it should be. Because this man has been a Jedi for who knows how long. He knows the Force for who knows how long. He can control it. And he cuts off Luke's hand because Luke isn't on his level. And then, what do we get to? We're in Sky City. Boba Fett, this man has, from this movie, just elevated. Because, like I said, we got a glimpse of him in the first one. But this single movie has made Boba Fett one of the most loved characters in all of Star Wars because he doesn't say much. He doesn't make many more appearances.
That's probably why. People can insert their own imagination into
that, that mysteriousness. And he catches one of the coolest characters, of course, Han Solo, and puts him in Carbonite. Yes, I know you love Han. But He doesn't, basically Vader does a job for him. C-3PO gets ripped apart in this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chewie's
carrying him back.
Yeah. Which is cool. This is one of the best Star Wars movies in the second. They did it right. They made a great sequel to a great, great movie. Like the lineup saying that made Han Solo great, greater, Leia's like, I love you. And he's like, I know. That was ad-libbed by Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And just amazing. And cemented him even further in the great halls of everything, So after Empire Strikes Back, we go into what we watched today. The Ewok Adventures. The first one is Courage in the Caverns, something like that. Cavern and the Courage. One of those.
Courageous Caravan. I don't know what it was, but it was horrible.
It was bad. And the Ewok Adventures are set in between Episode 5 and Episode 6. Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Wow. Was that first one just...
It was hard.
Almost unwatchable. And this was written by George Lucas.
You look that, yeah.
And I was telling Robert earlier, people say he wanted to write for kids. Maybe this is what that was. I don't know.
Oh, it was something.
Wow. Like, I don't... Oh, that movie was
My lack of commenting on it is my upbringing. When you have something really bad, you don't say anything. I'm not saying anything. It's that bad.
The best way to describe this movie...
You nailed it.
Because, my goodness, was this, like, you want to go into it looking for that love of Star Wars that you get from everything else. And it's worse than Phantom Menace by a long shot.
It's worse than everything.
It's
just worse.
We get introduced to this little girl. You know what? Don't watch Cavern of Carnage or Courage.
It's like the Caravan of Courage. I'm pretty sure that's the title.
Don't watch it.
And then the other one's the Battle of Endor.
But yeah, the Caravan of Courage, don't watch it.
Leave it alone.
No.
Because they'll hurt you.
Wow. The boy, her brother, the main character's brother, the worst actor I've ever seen in my life. Like, and I don't know. This man helped to direct and write Star Wars, yet he gave this boy these words to say and let him say them how he said them. So, what did you do, George Lucas? Why? This is bad.
It's horrible.
And he gets so much screen time.
It's too much. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's hard to even express how bad it was. People are listening like, you couldn't have been that bad, couldn't it? It was.
I don't recommend it.
Don't.
But if you and your friends.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. If you and your friends are drinking and you want to Mystery Science Theater this movie, that's the only time I recommend watching it. But my God. Oh my goodness. Horrible.
Was there anything in that first one that you thought was redeemable?
No.
Nothing.
I can't think. You got to see Warwick Davis in his first role. He was 14 years old. I love Warwick Davis. Harry Potter, he plays the goblins. Willow, of course. But other than that, you can see more Ewoks, which a lot of people hate.
They don't blink.
They're some creepy looking little tamers.
It's like they're like a giant Mogwai or like a mini like Teletubby that's brown. It's hard to even explain what they are, but they just don't work for me.
And the reason why these are being put in between The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi, because, of course, in Return of the Jedi, the Ewoks get introduced, but there is no Imperial presence on Endor at the time that these movies are made, so they say that's why they were introduced. And then, of course, people will say, well, Leia spoke to Warwick Davis's Ewok character, and he didn't understand her, but he understood this kid in these movies. That's also said because the kid maybe wasn't speaking basic. She was speaking some other language, but they made her speak basic because we needed to understand her, of course. And that's that. But we're going to get away from that first one and go to the Battle of Endor, which was not a good movie as well, but...
It's strangely better than that first one.
Yes.
But still not good.
You don't get, other than the fact that there are two ships in this movie, you don't get any Star Wars and Ewoks, I guess.
Yeah, you get a little Star Wars, like you don't. There's no like phaser blast.
Here's my thing: why the heck did those bad guys have blasters?
I think because they were scavenging off of people who were crashing on that planet.
There were only two ships, and they could barely find the first.
I don't know. I don't know where they got him from, but that's my only explanation. They were scared of demon people who had come to the planet. So,
yeah, I know.
I don't know what was going on. But it was ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
But
for whatever reason, there's a Celtic castle on Endor, which we never have seen before. And there's this alien race that lives there. They have blasters, yet they have swords, and they are scavengers. And
there's a sorceress that can turn into a crow.
There's a sorceress, which I did read because I was like, magic? What? Which they kind of use magic in the first one with the whole crazy one with the jeweled staff. She hypnotizes the spider. But this one, she uses flat-out magic. And in the Rebel cartoon, there is a witchcraft, quote-unquote witchcraft, that there's the magic comes from, they're sort of in tune with the Force, but not quite. And that stone that the lady was using in the battle for Endor was a stone that would be normally used to make lightsaber. Yeah. So that's where the magic comes from. But still, it doesn't
redeem. Which stones are versatile?
It doesn't
make redeem. A lightsaber, or you can control a giant spider.
Or it can turn a man into stone for whatever reason. Why? I think the Return of the Jedi got made, and they're like, wow, people love Ewoks. Let's cash in
that's,
on
that's
this.
That's pretty much it.
Because there were also two seasons of a cartoon of Ewoks. And that's like, neither one of these movies were good. Yeah. And I apologize once again for the third week in a row making you watch two horrible movies.
But despite the fact that I watch horrible movies, I'm still glad I saw them. Because I needed to know that they were out there and to avoid them.
Oh,
so
man.
I can tell all of you, avoid these movies.
Yeah.
At all costs.
This is, yeah. Which brings us to The Return of the Jedi.
Yay!
The Return of the Jedi, some people don't like it because of the Ewoks. A little trivia fact, the Ewok name was never mentioned in the Return of the Jedi film. It was only shown after the fact in the credits. But yeah, Ewoks beating stormtroopers. And oh, I skipped over something. As far as clone troopers and stormtroopers, the clone troopers were mostly decommissioned because of the aging advancement that they were given. They continued to age rapidly, and by the time A New Hope happened, most of them were old and almost unable to continue, so they decommissioned them. And for Palpatine to more get the people behind him and not use complete fear, he started recruiting of the public.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. Yeah, they were getting beat. What were we going to say?
Return of the Jedi. This one we finally get to see Leia.
Yeah.
That's an
Hutt.
Important moment.
That is, right? I was going to skip over it. Slave girl Leia, and I know that's not PC, but that's what she is known as. Jabba the Hutt has her chained by the neck.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in this legendary. It's by any sci-fi geek, the probably most legendary picture or image of a girl in a movie.
Of Leia in general.
Yeah.
Because you see Leia in these long white robes,
buns.
Little hair in the buns, and then all of a sudden she's like basically butt naked.
And yeah, so gold bikini.
For everybody who was loving those movies, all of a sudden see that, they just had like, you know, just...
Yeah.
Religion gave it to their life.
Exactly. and then we see Dark Luke come in. He goes to town. And it's just, that part of the movie is great. This was not my favorite of the three original. It wasn't bad.
Your favorite was the second one? Or was the first?
I think I gotta go with the first.
Really?
Because they introduced me. And there's some great moments in the first one, like when they're busting Leia out and Han is trying to stop the stormtroopers from coming up into the jail cell. It's like, yeah, just a gun malfunction. Everything's fine here. No need for you to come out, you know. Yeah. And he has other great moments. Oh, we skipped the Tauntaun cutting open. Or was that in Return of Jedi?
Yeah.
It's Return of Jedi? Or Empire? Empire. Okay. Yeah, but that is also a legendary scene. And also a matter of contention, of conflict, I guess. Some people don't think that a non-force user should be able to use a lightsaber. Because in the extended universe, it's turned on by the Force. But in the movies, I guess it is a switch. They always flick a switch, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah, so I guess that makes sense. Okay, anyway.
No, I'm going to get into the Force Awakens.
Okay. We're almost there.
Why?
Episode 6 starts 1 year after episode 5. So you got those two horrible Ewok adventures in 1 year.
After episode 5. They aged a few years in there. So whatever.
But yeah, Return of Jedi has Return of Jedi. They fight on Hoth. We see Ewoks kick butt. I don't think they should have, because these are trained stormtrooper soldiers. I don't know. We see Luke coming to his own. That's the most important thing. Because from here, in the extended Star Wars universe, Luke opens up Jedi academies and all that stuff and starts retraining Jedi, so on and so forth. Han and Leia take their relationship to the level that we all know. It's the end of the original saga, and it's great. And for that reason,
that's basically all you can say about it. It completes the trilogy.
It completes the trilogy.
It goes there and gives you what you want to see.
So then we move on to the Force Awakens, and this is what I've been waiting on, because because Mr. Robert has some issues with this.
It's an issue. The movie, I like the movie. I think it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they did something that was cruel and horrible that they shouldn't have done. Like, before the movie came out, there was a lot of trailers, there was a lot of information given about the movie, and there was a lot of hate that came along with those,
yes,
with those releases. A lot of people were like, I can't believe Finn, I don't know if they gave away his name yet at the time,
I don't think
but
so.
Basically who Finn is, they gave it that he was going to be the Jedi.
Yes.
And everybody was freaking out, like, he's not going to be the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, hero that, you know, America's used to. No, he wasn't. He was going to be a black guy. What's wrong with that? It was nice. It was a change of pace.
Yes.
You were going to see somebody who was the main hero. Well, not necessarily the main hero of the movie.
One of the heroes, yeah.
That wasn't a cookie cutter, you know, blonde haired, blue eyed knight. You know, it was somebody else. And they pushed that. And I thought it was great. People were excited. The poster had him holding the lightsaber. You know, all the clips you saw had him holding the lightsaber. He was using it. He was like, oh my God, this is the Jedi. No.
Yeah.
This is not what they did. It was a smokescreen for their bigger reveal. And I understand they wanted to do a big reveal, kind of like, you know, Luke, I am your father. You know, they want to do something on that level to bring people in. But instead of supporting the role that was given to you in the previews, they switched it to the girl, which I have no problem with. And if it wasn't the black guy, at least it was the girl,
yes,
who was the hero. I at least appreciate that much. But I think they did a disservice to people who were expecting him to be the black guy and were excited to see that the world of, you know, the stereotypical hero was being changed to somebody other than the blonde-eyed, blue-eyed, you know, knight. That, you know, They kind of ripped that right out of their hands. They said, this is going to be your hero. And then they took it from him. I thought that was horrible. I thought that was really ridiculous. I was really upset when I was sitting there watching the movie. I was like, why would you do that?
Yes.
Why would you, you know? And it was almost like, it's like, yeah, okay, here's this minority group. We're going to give you something. but you guys can't wait for it. But when you finally get to watch the movie, you're like, ah, we took it from you again. It's like, it was just a horrible thing. I still like the movie, but it's kind of the same thing that I had with The Blind Side. I think a lot of people think The Blind Side is a great movie. Mm-hmm. I watch it. I feel warm inside. I'm happy, you know? But it's a horrible movie because it doesn't have a single positive black character in that entire movie. They're either a drug dealer, a homeless person living on the streets, a gangbanger, and just a retail worker who sells like urban style clothes.
Yeah.
There's not a single positive black character in that entire movie. You're just supposed to wait for the, you know, the well-to-do white woman to save somebody instead of, you know, letting, I don't know where exactly I'm going, but basically there's just a lot of negative on a particular group of people, and now, you know, a lot of positive on that same group. It's just kind of, and I think Star Wars did that. And I'm really disappointed. So I hope in the next movie that comes out that Finn is a Jedi, because otherwise I don't know what I'm going to do in the back of my head to be able to accept Star Wars is like a great series, because they did a discourteous thing to
throw him in
minorities
the face.
Yeah. By doing it. Do you feel that way, or did you not feel that way?
I was definitely under the impression that Finn was going to be a Jedi. I was hurt when he wasn't. And yeah, I kind of do feel like, in my head I'm playing devil's advocate, but I can't, because I'm like, they tried to throw us a bone with Mace Windu, but as we said before, he was barely on screen. You know, and this was supposed to be the lead role for that. And then to make him essentially the comic relief.
He was the comic relief. That also upset me.
And not to take anything, he did a fantastic job.
He was an amazing actor. Yeah. The guy who played him. The first movie I saw him in was Attack of the Block.
John Boyega.
He's an amazing actor. He did an amazing job in the film.
Yep.
I mean, he played the fearful, you know, soldier
who comes into his own.
That comes into his own.
Janitor.
Perfectly.
Janitor.
And even in the movie, they were hinting that he might have the Force, because he's standing at the very beginning after the little massacre of the village. He's standing there, and then, you know, the main villain looks at him, and he like senses something. He's like, looks over at him, and he's like, oh my god, I gotta move.
Yeah.
And he gets out of the way. They even play it in the beginning of the movie that maybe he's more than what he's, you know, supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't give it to you. So that was a huge disappointment to people who were excited about him being a hero.
And I think, I hope that, and this is actually what he will, because he did pick up a lightsaber.
They better.
He did, granted it was short-lived.
And he didn't do all that great with it when he had it, no, but at the same time, I mean, still, why, I mean, you just...
And I don't know which route Disney's taking with the whole Force open lightsaber, but you know, we'll see. I do believe that yes, he did an amazing job. He was a fantastic character. I enjoyed his character leaps and bounds. Like he's great. Like in every aspect, I thought Finn was fantastic.
Even the romance that was brewing between him and Rey,
that's what pissed me off.
Should have developed more, but it didn't.
Like it's she like they didn't. Cut it off. Like, she should have kissed him on the lips at the end of that movie.
There should have been something.
Instead of a forehead kiss, friend-zoned instantly kiss that he got. I was like, whoa, wait, is this, what? Wait.
There's just so many little things they should have done better in that, but they didn't. They want to go there. I don't know if they didn't want to go there, or they just didn't feel that was right for the movie.
Which is nuts, because Disney is normally all about that sort of thing. Like they have the whole the gay day,
They're forcing it though.
You think it's like just
they're,
for
they're,
show?
They're just, I think it's for show. I think they're just trying to be politically correct.
Gotcha.
It's like they have, you know, every princess, but we didn't have a Hispanic princess.
Let's make
a Hispanic princess now.
No, let's make a Hawaiian one.
I think they're just doing it for show as opposed to belief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, deep down, there's probably all those people who are up there at the top of Disney are probably all, you know, I'm going to say it, But they probably are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it's whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm still happy with the movie overall.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the movie now. Because were you happy with the movie overall?
With who?
With the movie overall?
Overall.
Force Awakens?
Overall, yes.
Okay.
I mean, how long have we been waiting for something that happens after episode
six?
Big giant quote six.
Yeah. I
were you happy with it? You were not, I can tell.
I was medium. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy.
I was happy, even with all the things that I hated about it, all the negatives, which I'm projecting onto it. I was still happy to see what they did with something that came after episode six.
True. Yeah, I will give it that.
Even though it was a lot like previous, and maybe that's why I liked it, because it was so much alike.
That's my issue.
It was
they paid so much homage to all the other films. It was a copy of the other films.
Basically.
And a few shocker new moments thrown in there, but it's like we're getting the Death Star all over again. Mm-hmm. We're getting the destruction of Death Star.
I agree,
all over
that
again.
Was.
It's like, wait, we've done this.
I agree,
like,
that kind of sucked.
Yes, we got Darth Tantrum, aka Kylo Ren, but still, it's like.
Good old Kylo Ren.
Let's talk about Kylo. What do you think about Kylo?
I love me some Kylo. Either or. Because I actually watched, you know, not embarrassed to say it, I watched a little bit of Girls.
Yeah.
So
was he on there?
Yeah, he was on there. Okay. He's the girlfriend of the main character, so I'm familiar with him as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed what he brought to the character.
Yes.
I didn't get the whole Ren thing, why he was a Ren, not a Darth. He's a member of the Knights of Ren,
yeah.
I suppose. I didn't get that. I was like, why throw that?
Okay, it's a whole New Order crap. Yeah.
But it was whatever. I mean, I'll roll with it. You know, it's fantasy, it's fiction. But, I mean, I didn't dislike anything about him. His tantrums. You know, when he was being serious, that came in the beginning. It was epic when he froze the...
That is one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
When he froze the little
beam. Because...
The phaser blast or whatever you call it.
It's also... It's one of my favorite scenes, but it's also one of my least favorite scenes. Because this man does something off the bat that we've never seen before. And he walks in, someone shoots a laser at him, freezes it, goes about his business like it's not even there. Like, he's not using the Force to stop this thing in motion. He's still going about his business. He's still interacting. He's still doing other things. He's still sensing things. And then we'll get to the end later. But yeah, that's happening.
You don't think he was as epic in the end as he was in the beginning?
Because it's like, yes, I understand. They want us to know that Rey is this epic new thing that knows the Force but doesn't know the Force. But this dude did something and does things. He knows the Force, yet somehow she gets the best of him.
Did you feel a little Kung Fu Hustle when you watched this movie?
I did.
Because the whole yin and yang thing, like, she came in contact with the, you know, hit the yang, I don't know if it was yin or yang, the dark side being yang.
Yeah.
Came in contact with the yang, so it didn't, like, blossom to your yin or whatever. I thought that was cool. But, I don't know. I just keep going back to the whole Finn thing. Like, because they gave it to you in the beginning. Like, you should have been there, but they didn't give it to you.
He is still a great, great character. I will give him that. He pretty well made the movie because Kylo is great, but Kylo's a Sith, so he's doing the Sith things. He does add the tantrum thing, which is new.
Which is nicely done.
Well, Anakin kind of did the tantrum thing, but still.
Not quite like Kylo.
Not like Kylo. And the fact that they, like the droid, they throw in the stormtroopers who, you know, they're walking into the room. They're like, oh, they see him doing his tantrum and walk back out. And then you have Rey. Rey's kind of one note. She's also like little Anakin. You know, she wants to be better and better herself and get off the planet and find her parents. But then you have Finn, was this whole new aspect to the Star Wars universe. Finn is conflicted. Finn has known nothing but the New Order. He was a janitor. He faked his way into being a trooper. And then his first time out, he's like, whoa, this is what we do? I want no part of this. I don't want to be a part. So he then gets back to the ship and he's like, I'm going to do the right thing to cleanse myself of this nonsense. We've never seen this kind of character in Star Wars before. And then he's like, okay, so I'm going to rescue this pilot who's being tortured and get him back to wherever he needs to go.
But well, he doesn't just as much because he wants out.
He also needs, that whole back and forth between them, like, I'm going to rescue you. This is a rescue. He's like, you need a pilot. I need a pilot, you know, which is great. But yeah, then, you know, they get, and then he thinks Poe dies. But, and also he kind of comes into his own because he meets Rey, he meets BB-8 and Rey. And we go on this journey with him finding himself. Which I still don't think is done. I still am trying to grasp to the fact they might make him a Jedi. Because I think he knows he's a hero. He knows he wants to be a hero. He knows he likes Rey. Maybe even loves Rey. But I think they're gonna surprise us with 8. I want to say they're gonna surprise us with 8. I don't know. I could be wrong. But yeah, I think Finn is probably one of the best aspects of The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Him and BB-8, because they threw BB-8 in your face everywhere, every chance they got.
Yeah.
And then we see murder of my favorite character in Star Wars of all time.
I saw that one coming, though.
I had read earlier, before going to see Force Awakens, that he wanted to die in Return of the Jedi. He wanted that character killed off, but they were like, no, we need him. But yeah, I like the way he did it. For both people, for Han, it was closure, and, you know, giving his son what he thought his son needed. For Kylo, it was, I needed to do this because I need to cleanse myself completely. So yeah, it was brilliantly done. One of my only things is, at the end, when they all get back to the Rebel base, Chewie's hugging people. Chewie's fine. Chewie has one outburst there, but Chewie's like, when he gets back, eh. And freaking Leia hugs Rey, not Chewie, who just lost his life partner, his hetero life partner.
Right.
It's like, what? What? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
that's because you love Han so much.
I do.
You expected more out of people in the movie.
I do.
But yeah, it's still a good movie despite all of its flaws.
Yeah, I've watched it 3 times now, so I, you know, it's something I keep going back to. There's new stuff to find in it all. You know, keep think of the, I forget her name, but the little alien who likes Chewie.
It was just kind of a weird little alien that likes Chewie. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really something that I expect to see a whole lot more of, even though we might, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything surprising. It didn't really like seeing a Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a weird character. It's really just been like another patron in the bar for me.
Yeah, just any. Yeah.
For me, it was all about Finn. It was all about Rey. It was all about Kylo. Even though, you know, Han was a big character and he died, still, I didn't feel like it was. I didn't feel like it was about him.
Yeah.
I thought he was just like...
Yeah, Han was not a lead in this one by any means.
How did you feel finding out that Kylo was Han and Leia's son?
It didn't really cause any blows or anything. Like, it was kind of a...
Wasn't a big shocker to me. I was like, oh, yeah, see that coming. Yeah.
I didn't see it coming. I can't say I saw it coming, but... Like, I didn't really, like, ooh, you know, it wasn't, like, a jumping moment. I did like the whole him having conversations with his grandfather. Like, that was cool. I like, you know, the helmet of Vader, which was all melted and stuff.
Yeah, then, like, in every movie in one way or another, it's just a helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
It did throw me at first when he was talking to whoever he was under, because it looked like a giant.
Yeah.
But it was a hologram.
Yeah.
I still kind of figure, is that a hologram or is he a giant?
Because you don't know it's a hologram until like towards the very end of the movie.
What's really going on there?
And there are so many theories about who that person is. It's crazy. I'm not going to say anything. I just want to wait and see. We find out, we skipped the course in Return of Jedi, Vader killing the Emperor. But like, my whole thing is like, you have ultimate power. You have this machine of unlimited ability. Yet you're still answering to soldiers and whatnot. Why? Like, screw that. Like, Kylo still is, Kylo's a little bit different, but he's still accepting the fact that this nobody soldier is questioning him, you know, even though he's doing it, I guess, because the big hologram dude is telling him to, but still it's like, no, I'm a freaking Sith Lord, even though they don't say it's Sith in that one. It's like, I'm a Sith Lord. I am your number one. Why is this guy rear next to me? We don't need the government. We are the government. I've never understood that aspect, but I get it why Palpatine did it, because he gained power through that government. But at some point, I think he should have cut ties a little sooner than the Death Star. You know, the Death Star was his whole cutting ties. We're getting rid of the council. But even still, Darth was taking Wakanda on a leash by Tarfin, however you say his name, the admiral. He was still kind of taking orders throughout from that dude, you know. It's like, why? You're Darth Vader, you know. But still, Force Awakens overall, I think, was good. Even though it recycled a lot, it was still decent. That brings us. And anyone who wants to back out now, go ahead, because spoilers are coming. The Force Awakens, Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I want to say from the start, one word, bleak, because this isn't your normal, we're going to end with everyone getting medals on a platform with music and bands playing. Like, it's a prequel, yeah, but I kind of expected a different ending, personally.
Yeah, you didn't expect everybody to die.
I did not. Like,
everybody.
Yeah.
There isn't a single one that was important that didn't die.
It was a suicide mission.
Everything.
And, yeah. So, your overall initial
opinion of the movie, is it a good movie? Yes. Is it worth seeing if you're a Star Wars fan? Yes. Is it important? No. It doesn't really fill any gaps. You already know what happens. You already know. It doesn't give you anything new. So is it important? No. But is it a good movie? Yes. Does it have amazing characters in it? Yes. Do they all die? Yeah. Absolutely. It's kind of a sad thing, but it fits. I understand what they were doing. But in a weird sort of way, like when I first watched the trailer for this movie, I thought it was like a fan-made thing. Like, I didn't really take it seriously. I think, like,
did you see the one with the siren?
No, I don't think I remember. I don't remember. No, I don't think I did. Oh, okay. But I just felt like it was a fan-made thing. It wasn't a real Star Wars movie.
Gotcha.
It just seemed like the production value. Something about it just didn't seem. It seemed, because there's so many good fan-made things out there now.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem right to go with the Wars universe. And then, further along, you go, you figure out, yeah, this is a real thing. This is a real movie.
It's happening.
I'm going to watch it. And there was some quality about it that was a little off to me as opposed to the other movies. I don't know what it was. I think mainly it was the acting.
Mm.
I don't know if you got that. There was something about the performances that didn't seem...
Anyone in particular?
No, it was overall. It was the overall thing. It was Star Wars. Mm. It felt Star Wars. But there was just something...
More so than Ewoks?
Oh my god. Like, this beats Ewoks like a million times over. There was just something about it that was, it was like almost like if it was instead of like for the movies, it was made for TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
There was some quality about it that was just slightly off of it. But it was still a really, really good movie. I still really, really enjoyed it. I still would recommend it to anybody who's a Star Wars fan. but I mean, it wasn't necessary.
I can see being a prequel, like, do you think, let me, before I say, do you think any prequels are necessary?
Yeah, some are. Some do better than their originals.
Okay.
Like, we did a movie, Origin.
Ouija?
Ouija, yeah. Origins of Evil. Yeah. The prequel was 100 times better than the original.
Yeah.
So in that case, yes. But in other cases, not always. If they're not always, like, I still have problems with the episode 1 through 3. I don't think that they're.
Oh God.
I don't. There's elements in them that I love.
So,
like the beginning of 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I don't think they're necessary. It doesn't add.
To the story. I came off of this thinking with a whole new light on certain aspects of A New Hope. Like, I kind of went through them, you know, earlier. Like, it lets me know, mainly that first scene of A New Hope, like, it intensifies that for me. Because I now know Vader just barely didn't get those plans back. And he's been hunting them maybe for a week, maybe for a couple months. Who knows, you know. They know Vader's on their trail. They know they barely got away. They just came off of this huge, not huge, kind of massive battle, which, screw you, Star Trek Beyond, that's how you destroy a shield. You know. I don't know, like,
you don't get a lot of Vader in this.
No.
But the Vader that they do give you is extremely epic.
That's some of the best Vader we've seen.
Like the Vader when he's going down the hallway that isn't very long with maybe like 10 people shooting at him and he goes through like there's nothing. That was intense.
That's the Vader we've been waiting for.
That's the Vader we all know and love. Yeah. That we imagine that he is. Mm-hmm. When we don't see it, that's who he is. That's who we want him to be.
Yeah. He ravages. And it's the last 10 minutes of the movie, so spoiler, a little late, but still. And at first I thought it was the original scene opening of episode 4, but I was like, oh, wait, he's going to that. So yeah, like, cause it's kind of, you know, similar. He walks into this hallway, you see the same kind of dudes with those weird alien dome helmets, and the lightsaber comes out. He's got this mist around him, and it's everything you've dreamed about Darth Vader, and he does it, and it's great. I like this movie. I liked it. I saw it way too late. I need to watch it again. I went to a 10:30 showing, and yeah, it
was yours packed.
There were maybe 2 or 3 rows that were in.
I had a few empty seats.
A few empty seats. Which is weird.
I mean, like, you know, 3, 4, 7, 8.
3, oh, man.
It wasn't very cool. I went to an early showing, though, so.
But, yeah, it's one of those things, like.
How many names of the characters from this movie can you remember?
Chitty? Chitta? IP Man, or Hip Man, however it's pronounced. We got Blind Guy with Staff.
What's his name?
Chitta.
He's my favorite out of the bunch.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Buddy. And.
He's an Asian buddy.
Yeah. I like him.
What was the droid's name? The droid's
K2SO.
You did better than I did because I could not remember
that. He is awesome. He reminds me of HK from the games.
Mm hmm. Very similar.
Yeah, he's this turned Imperial droid, and he basically still has that mentality, but he's like, one of my favorite scenes is she's giving a speech about how she has to go, and she's like, who'll be there with me? And he's the last one, everyone else leaves, and he's like, I'll be there for you. But only because, you know, his master says, so, and this is a perfect pause between when he says it and yeah, it's fun.
He's a fun character.
Yeah. His master, I like the character, but I can't remember his name, because he was kind of this cutthroat rebel. You don't really see that.
He didn't do anything. I understand why he was there.
What about her?
She, I mean, I enjoyed her
yeah.
character. They did the whole, the lead, the main characters, if you will, again.
Yeah.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. I liked it, but I don't know. I think they could have given us something more from her. Like, she kept holding on to that necklace, like it was important, but then there was no mention of her being other than amazing as a person.
Yeah.
She wasn't, you know, special, as in she had any powers or any, you know, association with the Force. So, I don't know. They could have given us more there. I liked her, you know, guardian figure who dies in the way that I don't understand, like why he would just all of a sudden give up.
Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah, I'm just gonna die now.
Yeah, going with her.
That was pointless. He should have kept going. I don't know.
They built him up to be like this big cutthroat. He turned from the rebels and started his own thing, kind of Malcolm X.
You guys go ahead. I'm gonna hang out here and die. Besides the droid, and I hate that I can't remember their names, the two Asian guys. I hate saying the two Asian guys, but
his buddy with the big gun.
Those were my two favorites. Those were both awesome.
I read up on those two, and they were almost Force sensitive. They were Force sensitive, but not completely in tune with the Force. As you find out,
what was the chant that he kept saying? I'm one with the Force.
I'm one with the Force. The Force is one with me. He's great. Have you seen the IP Man, aka Ip Man? I'm not sure how to pronounce movies. Yeah, he's that dude is great. He's one heck of a martial artist. If you check those out, he's great.
Absolutely.
Trying to think of other standout, like. They brought a man who's been dead for the last 12 years back to life. That's pretty amazing.
The way they did that, like I said, they don't necessarily need the actors anymore.
Yeah.
There's a movie that I want you to watch that.
You told me the Russell Face goes to the.
Yes, you remember, yeah.
Goes to the.
That's Congress. Mentioned in there very heavily, so. Yeah. It's coming, becoming a reality.
Lucas wanted to do that. He wanted to make an entire movie of deceased actors using that sort of thing.
It's possible.
And make Leia look younger. Hers is kind of. But his is, you can still see aspects of computer generation, but it's him. Like, Francis Burke, it's a dude that's been dead for the last 12 years, standing there on the screen, acting, only not. So it's pretty amazing, pretty impressive. Like Robert said, I recommend this movie. I recommend if you haven't seen 1977 Star Wars, hold off. Go watch this and then watch that right after.
You're going against your normal thing. You like to see things, movies in the order.
I know.
At least then.
Yeah, but like I watched the original three and then went and saw Rogue One, but like now I want to go back and watch Star Wars again because of. The new light is kind of spins on that story. Like, it's like we know what happens, but not seeing Rogue One, we don't know what happens. We come in and there's chaos, and we're like, why is it, what is good? Like, yeah. And this is the battle, like I said earlier, that they judge their year system on. Like, Star Wars is it's BBY, the battle of Yavin, like that is their whole year system. And it's,
Do you want to see another prequel?
I would rather see episode 8. Well, okay, I'm going to say I'd rather see episode 8, but as I stated before, I am excited for the Han Solo story. And that's not necessarily a prequel. It happened before, but I don't think it's going to tie into the rest of the Star Wars story like, say, a Rogue One story does. Because we don't know what Han did before we met him in the cantina in Star Wars. So, yeah.
Yeah, you want to affect the story of Star Wars.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to see other people.
I
think we're done with people.
We had our fun here. Give us some standalone characters. Give us more of episode 8, 9, 10, whatever you're going to do there.
You're definitely doing 8 and 9.
Yeah.
But even though Rogue One is so good of a movie, it is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. Like, none of the characters build on this, you can't really take them anywhere else in Star Wars because they're all dead.
Yeah.
I mean, they're such great characters, but you can't do anything with them, man, because it just cuts the line. It's just a weird line. You're just like,
but wasn't it beautiful, though? Like, because like I said, I went into this thinking Star Wars, they get badges after every movie. This one doesn't do the opening Star Wars crawl, which was also weird, you know, where the text goes up. Mm-hmm. And the end is, dude, these guys did this to bring hope, you know, to the Rebel Alliance. It will to be remembered.
I appreciate the end and everybody dying, but like I remember when we went to see 30 Days a Night, like I was floored at the end of that. Like the same ending, it's a similar ending, like kind of sort of that original. Like I was completely floored by that. That's one of my favorite vampire flavors. That's definitely in my. But this one, when it ended, like the two Asian guys, once again, I apologize for not knowing their character names. When they both died, I was like, that really touched me. But when she and the other main character died, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of already, maybe I was already prepared for it. It didn't matter. But
what soured their death for me is the Mon Calamari is like, thank you for your sacrifice, Rogue One, right beforehand. I'm like, oh, wait. He's just going to fly off and leave them? And he just turns to Morales. And then go back to them hugging right as the explosion. Yeah. And at that point, see, now I'm conflicted because I'm thinking about the things you're saying, the points you're making, and I'm like, well, you know what? He's right there. Mm-hmm. But definitely go see it. It's worth a shot. If you're a Star Wars fan, see it. And like I said, try and watch it before you rewatch the old one. Just makes it so much better. But yeah, Star Wars spectacular, guys. We already said this one's set. The prologue in this one is set 4 years after Episode 3. The rest of the movie, 19 years after Episode 3. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Any standout characters actors for you? I know you like the Ip Man and the other guy.
Yeah. Besides Forrest.
Yeah. And I like Forrest. Yeah, he did
a great job. I thought that the main character did a great job. I think she was awesome. But like I said, it's just.
We had Hannibal in there, Meade Mikkelsen.
Yeah, there's also that show. I don't know if you've been watching The Exorcist or not on Fox.
Watched a couple episodes.
The guy, he was in there too.
And connecting with last week, we watched Nightcrawler.
Yes.
The defecting pilot was the guy we gave a hard time last week.
Yes. Nightcrawler. That's kind of, 6 degrees is
the movies. I can't think of any super standouts. I really enjoyed what they did with those, like you said, I can't think of his name, but yeah, he was great. Like the whole blind aspect, him being kind of in tune with the Force, that was fantastic.
He was a lightsaber.
Yeah. The droid was amazing. Fun. Yeah. And I guess, like I said, like just like Episode 3, getting to see it happen and how they pulled off stealing these codes also did something for me. I think it's also a little bit of nostalgia, you know. That's Rogue One. This has been a very long one, almost 2 hours, but it's a Star Wars spectacular, and movies that have shaped us so much deserve that, because Star Wars has shaped pop culture and is still clearly shaping pop culture in such a big way. We're gonna skip the big bad guy movie battle today, move that to next week. Do you have anything else for this one?
I have to add is I can't tell you how many, like, you're talking about the influence of Star Wars.
Yes.
Still to this day, I'm a grown man. Yeah. I'm an adult, and I still, when I go through like an automated door, I still have the hand motion.
I do it.
I want to do the hand motion like I'm making the doors open myself.
And this is going to reveal a little bit something about how nerdy I am. I want a lightsaber to walk around with. Yes. Toy or not? Let's do this. But yeah, that's... we're going to let Chewie say goodbye. No. R2, anything? Oh, C3PO. Sorry.
How rude.
I know. We forgot about you this whole time. You have a good one. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Go Watch the Movie, Episode 12, The Star Wars Spectacular. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.